For Friday, August 14th, we're going to be in the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Up until now in the book of Romans, Paul has addressed attitudes, and he's addressed faithfulness. He's addressed the reason that we need Jesus Christ so badly, and he's addressed that neither Jew nor Gentile is superior to the other. And now when we get to chapter 12, he really starts diving headlong into unity. If we realize that we all have the same need for Jesus, and if we realize that neither of us is better than the other, then now we need to be unified in the body of Christ. And so that's what he does here in chapter 12. And he starts off with pointing out that they need to present their bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual or rational or reasonable service, depending on which translation you're reading from. And says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now you might read those couple of verses and say, well, how does this fit in with unity? Well, I would say that this is a buffer between chapter 11 and the thoughts of unity in chapter 12. Understand that as we are in Christ, and we are all on that even playing field, and we are all trying to be unified in the body of Christ, that the only way that's going to happen is to embrace our spiritual service to God and to embrace the transformation process from being worldly minded to being spiritually minded. And when we change our thinking over to that spiritually minded, then we can discern the things that are the will of God, the things that are good, acceptable, and perfect. So then verse 3 says, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Again, you're all on the same playing field. You're all even. And in fact, no matter what type of sinful behavior you had in that previous life, that sinful man that was put to death, as we talked about in Romans chapter 6, no matter what kind of life that was, you can't decide that you're better than anybody else. And no matter how far along in this transformation process you are, you can't, again, decide that you're better than anybody else. You're all on, again, that same playing field. Okay? So don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to. Don't get haughty. Don't look down your nose at anybody else. Don't get high-minded. But you need to think soberly. You need to think seriously about yourself. And that is that without the grace of God, without the blood of Jesus, we are lost and we are nothing. And we have no hope. And so we really need to adopt that proper judgment about ourselves. And then verse 4 is, in one body we have many members. The members do not all have the same function. So you think about the body and the function. What parts of your body do you think are indispensable? In other words, parts of your body that you use constantly. Well, obviously, I use my mouth constantly. I use my nose constantly. I breathe in, I breathe out. The lungs are connected to that. I have to use my mouth to sometimes breathe, sometimes eat, sometimes talk. None of those things can operate without the mind, so the whole head has to be involved. So maybe I could go without sight, maybe I could go without hearing. I can't go without breathing, and I can't go without eating. But does that mean that I want to do away with any part of it? No. And we've talked about this at length in previous studies, but understand that when we're talking about the body of Christ, and Paul illustrating that with talking about members of the body, we're talking about functions. Okay, so within the local church, you'll have elders, you'll have deacons, you'll have evangelists, you'll have Bible class teachers, and you'll have members, and some of those members might lead prayers, they might lead singing. Amongst the ladies, some of them might teach a ladies' Bible class. Maybe they'll teach some of the kids' classes. Maybe they'll be taking care of one another, seeing about the widows, making sure that everybody's okay, seeing to physical needs. There's all sorts of things that are going on within the local church. And let me ask you, which one of those do you want to get rid of? I don't want to get rid of any of them. They are all good and acceptable and praiseworthy functions within the local church. Which one of them would I want to get rid of? And I can't look and say, well, because I'm not a great song leader, I don't have much value. No. You know, here's one of the problems we have as people. We can't look at everybody else and decide that because I'm not like them, I don't have value. And I can't look at what other people can do and say, because I can't do that, I don't have value. There are plenty of things I can't do. There's probably some things that I can do that maybe you can't, and vice versa. That doesn't make you more valuable and doesn't make me more valuable. We are all members of the body in Christ. So think about the context of Romans that we've been dealing with from the beginning, and that is that you've got Jews and you've got Gentiles. And neither one of them needs to think that one is better than the other. They need to become unified. They need to stop being Jews and Gentiles and start being Christians. And so they can't be haughty because of their background. They can't be haughty because of how far they've come. They can't be haughty because of what function they have within the body, what talents they have, whether their talents lie in something that's very visible or not visible. It can't be any of those things. If we're going to be unified in the body of Christ, we have to stop grading ourselves against each other. So think with that sober judgment, and we need to think according to that measure of faith that God has assigned. And he starts talking about gifts that differ according to the grace or the things given to us. Prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, contribution, leading, acts of mercy. All of those things can be done in both a public and private way. They can be done individually with others. We can be partnered up, but they all contribute to the well-being of the local body of Christ. It was necessary for the saints at Rome to be unified. it is necessary for us, the saints in Burnet, to be unified. And that means that we use every single one of us, the gifts that we have, to benefit the body. And if you're inactive in the local church, then that means that you have gifts that you're not using. You need to be using your gifts. We get down to verse 9 and he says, let love be genuine. You know, genuine love. 1 Corinthians 13, we always reference that chapter when we start talking about love. But Paul there describes how it doesn't matter what you can do. If you don't have love, then it's vain and it's empty. It doesn't matter how great a number of gifts you might have. If they don't have love, what use are they? Because it's not going to have the proper motivations. It's going to change the outcomes. So let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, but hold fast to what is good. Okay, so maybe your brother or sister came out of some terrible background that was full of sin, maybe even what we would term the worst sins. But they have changed and they become a true Christian and they are being transformed by the renewing of their mind. They're not conformed to this world anymore. So, you know, they're holding fast to what is good. I'm going to appreciate that. I'm going to recognize that. I'm not going to look down on them because of where they came from. I'm going to commend them for where they've come to. Love one another with brotherly affection. That means Jew loves Gentile, Gentile loves Jew. It goes both ways. Outdo one another in showing honor. That is that I'm going to work towards continually increasing and growing in my capability to do these things. I'm going to honor you and I'm going to help you. I'm going to exhort you. I'm going to love you. He says, don't be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit or in the spirit. We're never to be slothful. We are to be a zealous people, zealous for good works in the name of the Lord. And that will lead us to serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient when tribulation comes. Be constant in prayer. I would add to that with a thankful attitude. Contribute to the needs of the saints, whatever those needs might be. Maybe that might require me to contribute of my means, maybe some physical goods, maybe clothing, maybe providing some hospitality, as he says in the later part of that verse. Whatever the case is, if you love your brother and sister, you're going to want to take care of those needs. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. I would hope that that persecution does not come from a brother or sister within our local congregation. But if it does, he says, don't curse them. You have to handle it with the proper attitude. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. That means that we sympathize with whatever state they're in, regardless of whatever state I'm in. Live in harmony or unity, at peace with one another. Again, don't be haughty and associate with the lowly. Don't decide that something is beneath you or someone is beneath you. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of God. You know, in our society, it doesn't matter whether people believe in God and believe in Jesus or not. The things that are of Christ are beyond reproach. If we are compassionate, if we are humble, if we are meek, if we are loving to others, if we seek to bless others and not curse them, then while some might make fun of you, they're beyond reproach. They can't say that you're a bad person because of those things. So do what is honorable. And the things of Christ will always be honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. There are some people that are never going to be peaceable people. And there's no way that we can make peace with them. But he's saying, don't let a source of conflict be from you. Do everything that you can to live peaceably. Don't avenge yourselves. Leave that in the hands of God. And if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. It's not that we do it with the idea that I'm going to torture them. It's the idea that maybe, just maybe, they will think about their behavior. They will stop and consider what they're doing. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't stoop to their level. Do what is right and honorable in the sight of God. Thank you for listening today. We'll continue with Romans chapter 13 on our next reading. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.